Amen. So for this meeting, let's continue. If we can turn to Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. And we can read verses 14 through 17. And then also 19a. Exodus chapter 23. Verses 14 through 17, and then 19a. Amen.
Three times you shall keep a feast to me in the year. You shall eat the feast of unleavened bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days. As I commanded you, at the time appointed in the month of Abib, for in it you shall come
out of Egypt.
None shall appear before me empty, and the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labors, which you have sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering at the end of the year. When you have gathered in the fruit of your labors from the field, 3 times in the year, all your males shall appear before the Lord God.
19.
The first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk.
The first part. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So this afternoon we want to continue the fellowship regarding the matter of preparing or practicing the holy and the royal priesthood. This morning we saw that God has chosen his place, his dwelling. And we need to seek where the Lord has placed his name. Then also, at the same time, in Deuteronomy it did say, there you shall eat before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice in all to which you have put your hand, you and your household, in which the Lord your God has blessed you. So when, the question then becomes is, when do we come to gather together at the chosen place of the Lord? And the time is the appointed time. And what we're seeing here is the matter of the feasts. And the feast here, if you go into the details of the feast, you can see that there are 7 feasts. And these were the appointed time for the children of Israel to bring the first of the first fruits to Jerusalem to offer to the Father. But again, we also need to see this is a picture of the reality that we are experiencing of the Lord today. And so this is why it says, keeping the feast at the Lord's table meeting. Every Lord's Day, we have the table meeting. And we know that the Lord has set this up for us, that we should do this every week. When you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Lord said, and when he gave thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So, on the Lord's Day, this is why we gather together on the Lord's Day. This is the time of the Lord's table. This is why we have both the bread and the cup on the table. But as we have spent time, we actually had a whole conference concerning the 7 feasts that was laid out in the books of Moses. And we began to realize that actually the Lord's table meeting embodies the reality of all of these seven feasts that were written in Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23 shows us all of the seven feasts that the nation of Israel, they were required to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year to keep the feast. And there it is where they brought the first of the first fruits, the best of the best. So today we realize now that the table meeting is much more than just remembering his death, proclaiming his death. No, it is actually much more. If we turn to 1 Corinthians, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's read verses 6 through 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. Let's read it together.
Your glory is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So here we should begin to see that the table meeting, the supper, the Lord's Supper, that we come together on the Lord's Day is not just a time to remember and proclaim the Lord's death, but it's much more, it's much richer. And for me, when we first started to get into this, we had a whole conference on all of the feasts. So this afternoon, it doesn't do justice to just speak so briefly about the feasts, but we wanted to just give you a little taste to see why is it that we need to begin to know the Lord as the reality of the seven feasts. We included the chart here. Some of you have already picked up. And it has, on one side, it gives you all seven feasts with the references. But those are by no means exhaustive of the references. We have both English and Chinese. But it's to give you a start, to give all of us a start to get into the reality of the feasts. And then when we do spend time getting into it, then when we do come together for the Lord's table meeting, it will really be indeed a feast. Because there's so much more about the Lord that we have partaken of during the week. And this makes the table meeting much richer if we really get into it. And as I said, you know, we had a whole conference on it. Actually, more than we had one conference that got into all the details. But in subsequent conferences, there were more brought out regarding the seven feasts. But this afternoon, we'll just mention, it'll be in brief, regarding the significance and how we can begin to experience all of the seven feasts. The first four feasts, when you get into it, you begin to see it relates to all of what the Lord has accomplished for us. So if we take, for example, the beginning, the very first feast, there is the Feast of the Passover. We all know that God delivered the children of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt. And it was that evening when before the 10th plague was to be released onto Egypt, this is where the Passover feast was instituted, where they took a lamb and they offered it, and the blood was put on the door lintel. And because the blood was on the door lintel, the death angel passed over them. Right, this was their salvation. But not only that, they also were finally released to come out of Egypt. Right? This, on the one hand, you could say, well, this is what happened historically with the children of Israel. But we remember we said, the Lord said, Moses wrote concerning me. So that means even with this historical fact of what happened to the children of Israel, we need to say, Lord, okay, open my eyes to see that you are the reality of the Passover feast. Mm-hmm. And we do know in John chapter 1, verse 29, it says, Behold the Lamb of God, which mm-hmm. takes away the sin of the world. So, and of course, you combine it with 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we can see that Christ is the Passover feast. Mm-hmm. He's the Passover Lamb. Mm-hmm. Right? But it's not just that our sins were forgiven. If our sins are forgiven, then what? He brought us out of this present evil age. That's why in Galatians chapter 1, it says, Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. Well, the question is, is this our experience during a week? When we are going through our school, when we're going through our work, when we're just taking care of many matters in this world, do we remain living in this present evil age? Or do we say, Lord, deliver us from this present evil age? Every day we're bombarded with so many things, whether it's through the media, whether it's through the conversations that we have with our colleagues, our classmates. There's so many things of the world bombarding us. Do we exercise, Lord, today I want to keep the feast of the Passover to be delivered from all of this constant bombardment? Mm-hmm. Because if you live in this world, the more you hear something, if you keep listening to fake news, eventually you'll believe the fake news. Mm-hmm. If you keep hearing your classmates talking about something very wrong, sinful, the alternative lifestyle, then what? Eventually, you'll say, oh, maybe it's not so bad. There's so many things of this world today that if we just stay in it and not be delivered from it, that will affect us. And so the question is, do we say, Lord, today I want to keep you as the feast of the Passover. Mm-hmm. To experience you, not only for our sins to be forgiven, but also to deliver me from this present evil age. And then if we take a look at the Lord as the reality of the feast of the unleavened bread. So the unleavened bread, when you read back in Exodus, it not only in the matter of the feast of the unleavened bread, it's not only the matter of eating the unleavened bread for 7 days, but there's also the matter of purging the leaven for 7 days. And you might say, well, what is the leaven? Right? Leaven is not just the yeast that you put into bread to make it grow and make it soft. The Lord made reference to what is the leaven. Right? If you go to back into the Gospels in Matthew, you already see the Lord saying, the leaven, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Mm-hmm. This is the hypocrisy of religion. And also, the leaven of Herod, or the leaven of politics. And then, of course, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we see there's also the matter of the leaven of malice, the leaven of wickedness. Why is it so important to purge this leaven? It's because in Galatians it says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So when we keep the feast of the unleavened bread, are we also actively purging all of the leaven in our daily life? Monday through Saturday. Are we conscious, Lord, this is a leaven within me. We need to purge it. We need to lay it aside. Right? When you read in Peter, we always remember the verse, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, and by it you may grow. But we forget the verse before. It says what? Therefore, lay aside all malice, evil speaking. Right? If we don't learn to lay aside all of this, then as much as we want to eat the unleavened bread, we still have leaven within us. And if there's leaven within each one of us, then for sure, a little leaven will leaven the whole church. Right? So, this is very practical in our experience. Every day, if we are active to say, Lord, today I want to experience keeping the feast of the unleavened bread, then we need to say, Lord, I want to lay this aside. Lay aside the malice within my heart and the wickedness in my heart.
Yes.
Right? Someone wronged me. Right? Whether it's on the job, someone took my idea. Or someone said something that was not true about me, and then inside there's a reaction. Do we say, Lord, I want to lay this aside? Right? And then it's also the matter of eating of the unleavened bread. We need to take Christ to replace all of the filthiness within us with his fine humanity. Because he is the bread that came down from heaven. And then you have the matter of the feast of the first fruits. We know in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20, it says, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, but man, capital M, also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. And but each one to his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. So the Lord's table meeting, when we keep the feast here, it's not just a matter of proclaiming the Lord's death. Many times we always thank the Lord for dying for us. But how often do we praise the Lord for his resurrection? The feast of the first fruits to give us resurrection life, the life to overcome all of the challenges, to overcome the death that is within our flesh, to be released from the dominion of death within us. Do we experience Christ in such a way? The feast of the first fruits, the resurrection life that gives us life to walk by the Spirit. And this is, again, this should be in our consciousness as we go through our daily life, to keep the feast, be reminding one another, Lord, are we keeping the feast of the first fruits? And then finally, the fourth one is the matter of the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Pentecost. And this is the matter of Christ in resurrection. Right, Acts chapter 1, in ascension. Christ in ascension. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but you have received power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, how often do we keep the Lord as the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost? Right? Christ's ascension is critical for the building up of the church today, for the spreading of the gospel, for Christ to be head over all things to the church, for the establishment of God's kingdom. We need to experience being together with Christ on the throne in his ascension. So, again, we don't have the time in this conference to get into the details, but We want to give the saints a taste of how we can begin to keep these four feasts during the week. And we can see that these four feasts pertains to Christ, all and everything that Christ has accomplished for us as a man. Then the final three feasts relates to our preparation for Christ's second coming. The matter of the Feast of the Trumpet, this is the blowing out of the silver trumpet. And this is specifically to warn God's people, to gather the people and to warn God's people. And so this is also a feast that we should learn to keep. How often do we sound the trumpet? In 1 Corinthians 14:8, it speaks about blowing the trumpet with clarity. Right? If we're not blowing with clarity, what will the people hear? Right? We know the Lord is coming soon. How often are we blowing the trumpet? Proclaiming. Even at the Lord's table, the table meeting should be a blowing of the trumpet. Lord, thank you for the hope that you have placed before us in the feast here, because we are keeping this feast knowing that you are coming back soon to get ready for your coming. And the feast of the Day of Atonement, meaning to be fully reconciled to God, that our soul would be afflicted, not just to deny our soul life, but to afflict our soul life, to lay aside our preferences, to lay aside our desires, to lay aside our needs, and be fully reconciled to God. And finally, you have the Feast of the Tabernacle. This is the feast where the children of Israel would build booths or tents, temporary housing, to remind them that they are just pilgrims and sojourners of this earth. And that we all should be looking forward to the real city, the city whose architect and builder is God. When you consider these three feasts and we begin to keep this in our daily life, are we blowing the trumpet? It's not just on the weekends that we blow the trumpet to one another, but during the week, are we sounding the trumpet to one another? To all those who are around us? Are we learning to be fully reconciled to God, afflicting our soul life? And, or are we just really tied and hold tight to the material possessions because we're focused on the things of this earth? Right, so these three feasts, if we learn to practice it during the week, to keep it, it will also prepare us, help us prepare for the Lord's coming. So these seven feasts should become our experience, our reality in our daily life, to learn to keep the feasts. And when we come to the feast on the Lord's Day, right, if we have not been experiencing the Lord, then what happens when we come together to the feast? Do we have a feast? Right? If we're not preparing for the food, and only one or two comes, and there's just one or two dishes on the kitchen table, is that a feast? Right? Tomorrow, we will have a love feast, right? Because we all will bring a dish tomorrow. If only just one or two dishes there, that's not much of a feast, right? But I believe all of us, you know, tomorrow we're going to prepare something to bring to the love feast for lunch. Right? How about all of us also preparing for the real feast? To keep the feast together with our Lord at the table meeting. And I believe if we learn to labor and to experience the Lord as the reality of all these feasts, then tomorrow at the Lord's table meeting, it will be very rich. Because we all have experienced something of Christ in respect to these seven feasts. And if we all bring it together here at the table meeting, Then we will have a real feast. This is why, you know, I'm realizing many of the songs we have in our hymn book here is just inadequate, because it doesn't convey everything that we experience to the Lord as the feast. Mm-hmm. So it's okay if we don't have the song, but we have these verses that we've been experiencing and applying in our daily life. Why not bring that to the feast? It doesn't have to just be about the singing. It could be about the word that we've been eating, that has gotten into our heart, and more importantly, that has affected change in our lives. If we bring that to the feast, and if everyone brings something of Christ, then the table meeting will be so much richer. Right? So this is preparing, right? To be able to keep the feast at the Lord's table meeting. So hope that the saints, for all of us, we would get into it more and more. It was, as it was spoken at the beginning, it will take time to really train and to learn to practice the priesthood. And it really does take time. This is into our 3.5 year mark, or almost, wow, since, if I go back, July of 2014, December of 2014, when we started to get into all of this, the matter of the royal priesthood, it's taking time. And there's still more to be discovered, mm-hmm. more to be experienced. And so may the Lord bring us into the reality of learning to keep the feasts.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
One sentence that is very important, basic understanding between the feasts and the offerings. Keeping the feasts is learning to enjoy all the riches that Christ has accomplished for us. It's already accomplished, but you need to discover it. You need to dig it up to appreciate it in the Word. Christ has accomplished so much, but we appreciate and discover so little. Mm-hmm. Paul talks about the unsearchable riches of Christ. Paul talks about fellowshipping of his sufferings as a human being and knowing the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, right, and to attain to the best resurrection. All of these, many different aspects of what Christ has accomplished, we need to discover, we need to appreciate, to experience day by day. His death, for example. How often have you applied this? Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. How often do I experience that? In my reaction every day. Come home to the house with the parents, there's so much reaction, both from the parents and from the children. I've seen that. No, not just in your family, no, but I've seen that everywhere. There's a reaction upon reaction. Now, where is that feast of the Passover that Christ died, and I have been crucified with Christ? No longer I that lives. Where is that enjoyment of the accomplishment of Christ, that my own man has been crucified? How can we still so active in the old man. Paul says, it's no longer I. Christ did not just die objectively and historically 2,000 years ago. And why am I still so concerned and wrapped up with the things of this world? Because my old man is still there. The new man will have not been touched by these things, but the old self, the old man, still very much attached to all these things, related to all these things. Remember the world as described by John in 1 John chapter 2 is what? Number one?
The lust of the eyes.
And the lust of?
The flesh.
And the?
Pride
of life. That's the reality of the world, the subjective reality of the world. So here, the world is not just there. The world is here. Because the one who invented all these things is me. Man. The old man. And so to really see the death of Christ, the scope of what he has accomplished to free us from sin, for example. Right. I have been crucified with Christ, Romans 6 says what? Then the body of sin is free. Sin will have no dominion. So these are all the very subjective experience of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. We're free from sin, because I'm dead. The best way to be free from sin is to die. Well, if you're dead, nobody commits sin in the cemetery. You know, you don't rise up from the tomb at night and went to rob the bank. And then went back to the tomb and sleep. No. And this is the truth that you have to discover, what Paul is talking about. Paul is a wonderful person, knowing how to enjoy the feasts. Means to say, to discover. He discovers sin dwell in his flesh and how to be freed from that. And he was desperate. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will save me from the body of this death? But you and I, we don't feel very wretched when we live in the old man. Right? You feel really wretched. Who felt wretched here? Paul felt wretched. Why am I always like this? How come I never learn? After so many years. So here we can see that we talk about keeping the feast, but what is that? We talk about enjoyment. What is that? If we are truly in the enjoyment of what Christ has accomplished, and our life will be different. My life will be different. How about my thoughts? So many things we need to discover. Keeping this wonderful feast. So the feast is what God has prepared through our Lord Jesus Christ from the day he incarnated all the way when he ascended, and then his coming in to dwell in us to keep the other three feasts, perfect us and do the Lord's work until he comes. So this is a real training in our consciousness to consciously live in the enjoyment, experience of these feasts, because how are you going to experience it if not in your daily life? To say, I have been crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20, a lot of Christians know this verse. Mm-hmm. 19 and 20. But how do you experience and enjoy this reality if not in your daily living? At work, at home, in school, it's still always I, right? So the practicality, we're not talking about definition of the feasts, but we're talking about the experience. Mm-hmm. To keep it. Well, the scripture says we are made alive with him. Doctrinally, or we are seated with him in the heavenlies. How about that? Mm-hmm. Right. We're still all the time under the weather. Not above it.
Yeah.
There's no storm above this. Up there where the Lord dwells. In the heavenly. He's sitting there, there's no storm. Everything was under his feet, it says, because he's so high up there. But today, we are under so many things. We are under the problems. We got really irritated. And we are suppressed, and we are depressed, and we are
oppressed.
Right? He's not giving peace. He's not giving peace. So, and of course, in so many aspects of the Lord's days. Free from the tradition of our fathers, or from every unrighteous deeds.
Mm-hmm.
From the rule of the Pharaoh, from this present evil age, from the love of the world. So many things, from idolatry. Many things we are still under the control of these things. We are not above it. And on the other hand, constantly getting rid of whatever is in me, whatever is in my heart. Lord, I don't want this. Lord, get rid of that. Lord. Mm-hmm. Free me. So many things there, and to overcome death. We talk about the first fruits. Right? He's the firstborn from among the dead. He's free from death. We are many times still under the dominion. Be risen with him. And for that, you need to see the exceeding greatness of his power in Ephesians chapter 1. No wonder our eyes has to be open. It's not just, he rose from the dead, so easy. Ephesians chapter 1 says there is an exceeding great power at work. Right? And this whole universe is controlled by an exceeding great power that holds everything together. So we take it for granted. We thought, well, it's, you know, I'm just swaying, turning around with the planet, and I don't feel anything with it. But we don't realize the great power that is in it. And this is what God has accomplished through Jesus Christ. Right, for our salvation, for our redemption, even to be born again. With him, all of these wonderful things to eat, the unleavened bread. We need to live in that consciousness of the feast. And that goes together with our preparation of the offerings. So the feast is what comes up, comes down from heaven, from the Father to us. And the offering is what we are enjoying and experiencing of this Christ and bring the best to the Father. One is coming down, the other one is going up. There must be a cycle, a wonderful spiritual cycle going on. If it just comes down and nothing goes up, that means it doesn't work. Just like what Hebrews chapter 6 says, the earth drinking the rain, the water from above, should be bringing forth fruits, right? Yeah. But instead, thorns and thistles. At the end, it's near unto curse. Because it's not bringing forth the proper fruit for the enjoyment of the one who sowed the seeds. And God has, in Isaiah, planted a what?
A vineyard.
With the best vine. And what came out? Poisonous GMO. We're just talking about the. So what's the word for GMO? If this is what the Lord has invested, brought down, God had invested so much in Christ Jesus for us to really enjoy, and out comes poisonous grapes.
Oh, Lord.
And nothing goes up to him. Oh, what would you say?
Destroy the vineyard.
Yeah, if the tree that grows in our garden doesn't bring forth fruit and you keep on watering, it's a waste of water. So, cut it down, they will say. Cut down the tree, plant another one. Cut it down. As the Lord said the same thing in John 15, right? He's the true vine, and the Father is really the expert gardener, the vine dresser. Then we are the branches, and what does the Lord do with branches that then bring forth any fruit?
He takes away.
He cut it, and then?
Burn it.
Trampled underfoot, he would even let people trample it, step on it.
And then finally, burn it. So, spiritually, God has given us the best in Christ Jesus. He has invested everything. You think he is not expecting anything? He's expecting something to go up to him, right? Normal. That's normal. But he invested so much and nothing goes up to him. What a disappointment. The great love of God at the end will be a great disappointment. God says, what else could I do? He says that, right? What more could I have done? You tell me, what more could God have done through Jesus Christ for us? Die 100 times, come back again and repeat, repeat and repeat. No, Hebrew says how many times?
Once for all.
Sorry, you can't repeat what he has done. No need. Even if he repeated 1,000 times, you think it's going to work better? I don't think so. No, I don't think so. His once for all, that wonderful work, is perfect. He couldn't improve it. He couldn't have done anything more. There's no improvement. People who thought they could improve the work of God and do the GMO will destroy it, and in the end they'll kill you. Not edible. So we try to change the world, we try to change the teaching, the truth. We try to manipulate it, and we do so many things. And at the end, did it work? Not only it didn't work, it kills. I've seen so many killed. So, we need to learn to keep this wonderful feast. And a way to prove that this Lord's table that we are enjoying is the replacement of all these feasts, because it's the reality, is you read the Bible. In Matthew chapter 26, for example, when the day of the Passover came, they prepared a Passover because that's the day where the lamb was going to be slain. And it was exactly in that Last Supper, which is the day of the Passover, that Christ instituted the table and said, this is my body, I'm the real lamb now that will be killed. And the blood of the cup is the real cup, the blood of the covenant. What does it say? It says it replaces the lamb and the blood. Christ is the lamb slain on the day of the Passover. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Christ, our Passover is sacrificed. And of course, the feast of the unleavened bread, or why are we eating that bread? And just Sunday. It says how many days?
Seven days a week.
What do you do on a Monday, a Sunday evening through Saturday? We keep the feast of the unleavened bread. It's all a matter of inward consciousness. Putting off the old man, for example, is to put off every leaven that is related to the old man. Religious leaven, sinful, evil leaven, hypocrisy, and all the sinfulness. And all these things we need to put away. How many of these 11 this week have you tried to put away? Or maybe you don't have any more leaven. Well, praise the Lord. Congratulations, Anne. Right? We need to congratulate ourselves. I have no more leaven to put away. Praise the Lord. I'm leaven free. No.
Then you still have the pride.
Well, you see? I'm leaven free. Many times we have to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm really no good. No good. Mercy, have mercy. I need your mercy. Change. Get rid of this and that. We have to. Unless you're leaven free, well, congratulations. Instead of level, you should write, I am leaven free. How about that? It's not a doctrine. Sitting with him in heaven is a leaven free. So, praise the Lord. There is a verse in Isaiah 33. Look upon Zion, verse 20. 33:20. Look upon Zion, the city of our appointed feast. Your eyes will see Jerusalem. Yeah. So you're the city of our appointed feasts.
Amen.
Because the reason is all the people, they come to Jerusalem only on the time of feasts, three times a year. The rest of the time, you can go to Jerusalem if you have some business to do there. That's fine. Go, you don't have to go. But three times a year, all the male are required to go. You don't go, you'll be cut off from your people. And you have to go to keep the feasts, and you should not go empty-handed. Now this is amazing. This is fully according to God's way. But today in the New Covenant, it is every Lord's Day we come to keep this feast, which is very appropriate. Because we need time to enjoy this feast. The Lord knows you need time. You need time. If the Lord requires you to bring a good offering once a day, you say, Lord, I work. Oh, let's not start working. I sleep 8 hours a day. And I work 8 hours a day. That's 16 hours. And I eat my breakfast, lunch, and dinner at least 1 hour, if not 2 hours. A meal, so another 6 hours. So 16 plus 6 is how many? 22 hours. I got 3 hours left. To do my wash, the telephone, or my phone. I have no time. So the Lord is very gracious. Gives you 1 week. Oh, You need to at least have an experience of Christ a day, right?
Right.
And then you can have 7 experiences a week, and among the 7 experiences, you can choose the best. How about that? No? Too hard? Too hard?
No.
You never experience getting rid of the leaven for 7 days? You don't experience overcoming death for living Christ? There's so many ways to experience being above the situation, doing God's will, blowing the trumpet. It brings about blowing the trumpet. Right. In Isaiah 58. Cry aloud. Verse 1. Spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. There you are. Your voice is a trumpet. Yeah. Tell my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. How about that? So, you have to blow the trumpet. Share the gospel. Praise God. Can you imagine God gave us this mouth and we speak a lot of nonsense all the days of our lives? It's about time we speak something genuine, something real, something alive, full of grace, salted, something that can help people, something that can save them. Yeah, that's good. An encouragement for one another in the house of the living God. Right. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm glad you asked me some questions that I can share something I can help you, right? Yeah. That is good. Right. That we can give a word at the right time, it says, to the weary. So we need to have the mouth of a learned, like what Isaiah said. To give a word at the right season to the weary. Mm-hmm. Our lips are very important. Learn from Isaiah, Lord, purify my lips.
Amen.
Learn from Jeremiah, the Lord says, I will put my words in your mouth. Yeah. So, learn from both. On the one hand, purify my lips. Then the next step, A and B. If you have A in Isaiah, you then need to go to B in Jeremiah. Put your word in my mouth. Mm-hmm. The Lord cannot put a word in your mouth, in my mouth, if it's not purified. In Isaiah chapter 6. And after it's purified, we need Jeremiah chapter 1. Now, Lord, you put your words in my mouth. So it's not the how. Again, it's not how. It's the Lord putting the word in your mouth. So keeping these feasts is not a doctrine. We need to have the consciousness, Lord, I want to learn. To learn. Even the Lord says, give me the mouth of a learned, give me the ears of a learned. Give me the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, and your counsel. The Lord has the counsel, that's the teacher. And some strength to do it, right? If I know how to do it, but I have no strength to do it. That was the use of the knowing. So here, we all need such a equipment, and the Lord has equipped us. That sheet of paper is not going to help you. if you don't practice it.
Right.
You can paste it. It's decoration, otherwise we have a very blank wall, right? It looks good. It looks good. Wallpaper. A spiritual wallpaper. Wallpaper of truth. Nobody reads it anymore. After you know it, you just walk by it. It doesn't touch you whether you are the first fruits or not anymore. The first fruits. The wall will become the first fruits. Some people may say, you know, if you have life, how come we don't get the help? Nobody can help you, nobody can help me. You have to help yourself by practicing the truth. Even the Lord, when he came to this earth, he could not help those Jews. It doesn't mean that he doesn't have life. The Lord, does he have life? A little bit?
A lot.
Not only a lot, he is the life. Not only a lot, he is. Did it work on the Jews?
No,
that means the Lord must not be a good teacher.
He's the best.
Huh?
He's the best.
He's the best. How come it didn't work?
Bad students.
That's right. So even if we have the best, doesn't mean it's going to work automatically.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You may have the best professor in the university, but if the student is a bad student, the whole class is a lazy class taking drugs and spend time in the beach every day in San Diego.
Come to me.
Don't blame the professor, okay? The president will say, what kind of a professor are you? I'll kick you out. Is that a way?
No, not in this case.
So, please, brothers and sisters, don't just learn the knowledge. That doesn't mean we don't need that sheet of paper. But it's just a help to remind you, to show you some of the basic verses, and that's not all, you have to dig in. The feasts is in so many pages.
Right.
You want to learn the feast, you have to get into Let me tell you how many pages there are. There's no page number here because it's too many. That's just one sheet. You cannot depend on that one sheet.
No.
It's up to you to see how diligent you are to discover those feasts in the Word of God. Okay. And don't say it doesn't work. It works. For some. For many it doesn't work. But for some it works. It's because you want to get into it. You have a desire to get into it. To please the Father.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Lord Jesus. Yeah.
Then we can keep the feast.
Amen.
You read all of the writings of the apostles, you will see they are teaching you how to keep all these feasts. Mm-hmm. and how to experience Christ.
Amen.
And how to prepare the offerings.
Amen.